Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Well, bless you guys, man. Have a seat. Are you well tonight? What a powerful night already in worship. And man, I feel this is going to be historic tonight. I feel some craziness up in here, man. I really feel something taking place. So good to be with you. I want to thank Pastor and his wife again. You know, they're just amazing folks, and they're just hungry for God and hungry for the move of God. And man, I just pray that, you know, I just had another pastor in Massachusetts, I don't even know, contact me yesterday saying they're in extended meetings for 4 weeks now and he wanted me to minister. And of course, I didn't even have any relationship where at least I had a little bit with Pastor here, and now it's obviously a lot more, but something's happening in New England. I feel it. I really do. I feel a stirring. I feel that the bride is recognizing who she is. Come on. The body of Christ. And when they wake up, when New England is waking up, but I'm saying when it begins to spread, friends, this is a wrap, man. We're going to usher in the greatest harvest of souls this world has ever seen. From fiery, flamey believers that are on, you know, just going after God. Audacious faith. Just audacious faith. We just got back from Toronto, just teaching at the School of Ministry there for a week. 4 or 5 hours a day, man. For 4 or 5 days straight. That's intense. You better have some kind of Holy Ghost material if you're going to teach kids for 20, 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? But I just feel in my heart that God is doing something so powerful. And man, just so excited to be a part of it. Get ready for tonight. I really feel like something major is going to take place. And are you with me tonight? Come on. You can do me a favor real quick. We do have some of our books. People were asking as I came in. Revival Hunger. I wrote it about, I don't know, 6 months ago. It came out or so, 7 months. You can grab it. It's just really... finding genuine revival among fluff and hype. It's pretty intense. And great friends of mine endorsed it. Paul Keith Davis, John Arnott, Cheon, The Forge by Dr. Rodney R. Brown. You can grab that in the hall. Do you have this? I want to give that to you guys. Here you go, Pastor. Love you, man. So you guys can pick that up. We got flyers in the back, stuff like that. But anyway, so good to be with you. Tonight I felt so strong in my heart that... there's going to be a new level of authority released here tonight. I already felt it start to be released. And I really feel like, let me say this. I feel like the spirit of infirmity is going to be broken here tonight. I do. I feel like some of you that have been, you know, we'll go there in a minute. But, you know, it's interesting in the Bible when Jesus... Actually, you might as well go there now. The Bible's pretty cool. Let me warn you. I'm warning you ahead of time. I'm going to preach the word to you. You better break out a pen and a pad. And, you know, this isn't one scripture and four visions to make you happy. I will feed you the word, and God's going to confirm his word tonight with signs and wonders. I'm telling you this. It always happens. He only follows his word. Are you with me? My interpretation's not good enough. It's got to be God's word that we stand upon. And so I'm warning you now, you want to take notes, you want to, just, you know, grab all that God has for you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Since I mentioned that, I want to share just a quick note about this. Luke chapter 13, you could turn there with me. If you got it, say, got it. Luke 13, and, we're going to read at verse 10. It says, now Jesus was teaching in the synagogues of the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years that was bent over and no way could raise herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. It's interesting in the pattern of the scripture here. Jesus didn't pray for the sickness. He prayed for the infirmity. Jesus, see, a lot of times people may not get healed because we've not really dealt with the spirit at hand. once you deal with the spirit at hand, you're going to see the miracles are just byproduct of you taking care of business in the Lord. Are you with me? It's interesting because, when I think about the believer, I mean, really the believer, like, you know, I think I mentioned here, 1 Peter 1:5 talks about that ready to be revealed salvation. But in John 20:21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. In the same manner, spirit, you are the servant of the Lord. It's the highest calling you can have on earth is to the ministry of Jesus. You say, well, am I really called to the ministry of Jesus? I work in the financial realm. Yes, you're called to the ministry of Jesus. No matter what we do on earth, as long as the Holy Ghost is living on the inside of us, you automatically are a candidate for the ministry of Jesus. Do you hear me, church? We cannot live life and let life tell us what we hold. Let life tell us what we carry. No matter what, the dynamite is inside of you. The power, the dunamis, the authority, the exousia, it's in you now. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. This was the mandate of the early church. This is who lives in you. This is who longs to manifest himself through you. Luke chapter 9, he said, I give you all power and authority. Oh, Jesus. What does that look like today manifested in the body of Christ? All power and all authority. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that the disciples said, Father, grant your servants with all boldness that we would preach the word. What does it look like when boldness begins to come on your life? What does it look like when faith, the gift of faith is demonstrated in and through your life? Oh, friends, come on. See, I really believe that this here, and I've said this before, it's an invitation for you to step into this life in the supernatural. It's an invitation for you. It's just so fitting because in years past, we've always wanted to build monuments around men and build it around people. But what happens when God wants to equip the saints for the work of the ministry? What does it look like when the Christ in you wants out? What does it look like when the Holy Ghost within is like, come on, there's a greater purpose, there's a greater cause, and you now are living to see the ministry of Jesus in and through your life? That's the most dangerous person on the face of the earth. The kingdom of hell has no power over your life, has no power over your mind. You've been given authority over every unclean spirit. You may be an unclean spirit here tonight in your mind, but you've been given power over all the works of the enemy. Are you with me? You are that servant of the Lord in John chapter 20. And if we understand and comprehend what that looks like, what does it look like to be the servant of the Lord? What does it look like to operate as his son and his daughter? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, those that Christ foreknew. Guess who that is, friends? That's everybody in here. Those that Christ foreknew, he predestined you to be the firstborn among many brothers. You now are the firstborn. You read Matthew chapter 1, you read all the lineages, it's supposed to add up to 42, it doesn't. You are the Jesus generation. You are the 42nd generation, Christ in you, the hope of glory, being manifested on the earth. I know, what would happen when believers read the word? It's going to be getting crazy in here. But you've been given all power and authority. You've been given power over unclean spirits. You've been given. People were looking at me like I was serious. Like, oh, snap. He's about to chuck this. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. But he that does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those that believe. Let me tell you something. In the original translation, it says these signs will accompany those that believe. These signs are an automatic byproduct of you being accompanied with the Lord Jesus, you being filled with all the fullness of God. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Demons have no authority to a believer. You are the greatest threat right now to the kingdom of darkness. You are the greatest threat to Satan's kingdom. You're the greatest threat to cancer. You are the greatest threat to disease. You are the greatest threat to bipolar. You're the greatest threat to anxiety. You are the greatest threat to fear. Come on. I promise you it's not me, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the believer that believes in this hour is the greatest threat to the kingdom of darkness. When you realize that, when you recognize that you've been clothed with His greatness, when you realize that you've been given everything to live this life in godliness, the perspective of the average believer is about to change in this hour. Too many people believe that, you know, we've fallen victim to a powerless Jesus. And let me tell you, man, when I got born again, it was crazy to me. Because I would see people say they were believers. And then somebody gave me this book, which was really the worst thing. Because I believed it. And I saw different Jesuses manifested to me. I saw the Jesus that, Lord, if it's your will, please heal. I'll never forget, man. I knew a pastor guy. He was one-eyed. He got literally lost an eye. And he's like, you know, and people are praying, God, if it's your will. It's a spirit-filled path. Come on, man. And he's praying, God, if it's your will. I'm sitting in the meeting going, what? God, if it's your will. And I just started contending for this stuff, man. I'm like, no. Listen, and I try to make sure. Do you read the Bible? Where's the red? You read the Bible? I just want to make sure it wasn't me. That you didn't hand me some crazy version. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I know we're reading the same dude, bro. You hear what I'm saying? I know we're reading the same Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about Mickey Mouse, my friends. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, He's not changed. The message still remains the same. It's not changed. We've changed the message. We've watered down the message. It's not changed. The same Jesus that walked the hill of Galilee is here tonight. The same Jesus that said, Lazarus, come forth, is here tonight. The same Jesus that opened blind eyes and deaf ears is here tonight inside of you and in the midst of us in this meeting. See, I believe the words of Jesus. I began to study the scriptures. The cat got out the bag, man. And I said, I got a decision to make. What Jesus am I going to recognize? What gospel am I going to believe? Come on. The Bible says some men trust in chariots, some men trust in horses. That wasn't my gospel. But some men trust in the Lord. I wasn't gonna just buy into somebody else's religion. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to make Him known. I wanted to receive His authority. I wanted to receive His peace. Come on. I wasn't gonna tolerate a life outside the fullness. Me just holding this up every day or, you know, coming to church, opening your Bible and you throw it on your dusty dashboard for a week. That wasn't gonna work in my life. I didn't have a job to fall back on. I didn't have an inheritance to keep me warm. I didn't have a house to make me happy. Nothing in this world can satisfy my hunger after heaven. Nothing in this world can satisfy my desire for God. There's not enough money in every bank account representing this room that could buy an ounce of what heaven has put on my life. It's faith. It's the gift of faith that God wants to give you. It's the gift of faith that God wants to deposit in and through your life. So who is this Jesus then? Who is He really? Come on, friends. I know it's about to get real quiet. We just sat down for a meal. I just brought you the waters. You hear what I'm saying? Like we ain't even got started in this right here. And I see believers. The Bible says the Holy Ghost lives in you. The Bible says you've been given all power and authority. The Bible says that He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. I thought, what? And then I look around. And I watch intercessors get together. Oh, Jesus. It's like a disease, man. You had a dream about warfare? We're all under attack. Satan's beating me up. We're all beat up. And all of a sudden see people. It's pretty remarkable that somebody's getting credit in your life. You know what I mean? It just ain't the Lord. I see people giving Satan credit for something he has no power over. I see people giving sickness credit for something he has no power over. I see people tolerating things in their life when the Bible says the contrary. I see people spending hours and hours of time, you know, trying to cast down a spirit that they've already been given authority over. Okay, we'll go back to the scripture. I can't even throw an opinion out here. Pastor, I may just have to just read scriptures for the rest of this meeting. This is ridiculous. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 6, that you are seated in heavenly places. Say, in heavenly places. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse, and I'm talking to all of you watching on web, old ladies, young ladies, I don't care who you are tonight, I'm talking to you, I'm in your house, I'm calling you out tonight. God wants you to lay down a powerless Christianity and learn to live this gospel. God wants you to lay down the excuses, take authority over sickness, take authority over disease, and become the deliverer God has called you to be. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15, we call this good preaching in New London. I'm just telling you where I'm from, we get open on the devil. Let me just tell you. Ephesians 1:15 says, therefore. If it says therefore, what do we need to find out? Therefore, I also, hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Thank you, Paul. What are your prayers? Thanks for asking. Here's my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. That's legit. Let me just tell you that right now. And if you we can really go into the seven spirits of God in the book of Isaiah. Wisdom and revelation is one of the seven. So this is a supernatural gift for you. I'm not talking about if you a doctor, now all of a sudden you got wisdom on where the aorta is. Do you hear what I'm saying, homie? That's natural wisdom. I'm talking about a supernatural wisdom from heaven that is not of your own. It's a gift. I'm talking about revelation outside of, you know, you being taught something in high school. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about a supernatural gift that when it's on your life, we can't keep calling something the anointing that you can already do without God. I'm talking about there's no doubt, mind shaking, that must be the Holy Ghost. So Paul's praying for him, man, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That you would know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints. That's a lot of stuff we need to know. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us that believe. Oh, snapperoni. What is the exceeding... Hear what this is a small world after all. What is the exceeding greatness of his... See, I just can't read this like it's Hunger Games, dude. Are you with me? I literally read this and you know what I say? God, show me the exceeding greatness of your power towards those that believe. Show me the exceeding greatness of your power towards those that believe. God, I don't want a form of godliness and deny your power. Father, I want an authority that you walked in. I want the DNA of heaven that you've given us. Come on, are you kidding me? It's the Bible. What is the exceeding greatness is of his power towards those that believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. far above principalities and powers and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, which is the one to come. And he put all things, say all things, under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things, say all things, which is what? Which is the church. It is all things. But the next verse says, which is the church, to the church. I should have asked to who? The church, which you are his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So you know what? Let me just translate this to you in English. You are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, dominion, anything in the age of the age to come. Did you hear what I just said? You are seated in heaven right now, far above. You've been given power over all principalities and powers, dominion, anything in this earth, in this age of the age to come. I mean, I could just leave. You hear what I'm saying? Do you know what I just said to you, church? If that's the case, I'm just saying I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm actually reading you the Bible, you know what I'm saying? If that's the case, then why are we wasting time trying to cast something down that you already stand over? If that's the case, why do we waste time warring with something that you've already been given authority over? And it's almost like believers don't know what to do but believe. It's like, well, if I can't believe, then let me just, you know, be like a hamster in a wheel. You ever seen a hamster in a wheel? It's just ridiculous. The thing's going nowhere. It's just like all fat and nasty. Don't even know what's up. You know what I'm saying? I've had hamsters in wheels. They're dumb. You know what I mean? Yeah, just going over and over. Ain't nothing even changing, man. Just running, thinking it's going to go. It's not gaining any ground. It's, you know, it reminds me of, I think it was the book of Acts, maybe chapter 13, for I got so many scriptures in my head. You know, they're all praying, and they're praying for Peter to get out of prison. Peter busts out of prison. God answers their prayers. They're praying. Peter, right? Peter shows up at the door, and what's her name? Rhoda? Rhoda's up in the house, and they're like, go answer the door. She goes, says, oh, snap, it's Peter. It's not really him. She comes back to the meeting. They're like, what happened? She's like, oh, I think it's Peter's ghost up at the door. Let's keep playing for his release. You laugh, man. Listen, last thing I want to do is attend an unanointed prayer meeting. You hear what I'm saying? Last thing I want to do is be a hamster in a wheel, grinding out good things. You fooling yourself. Peter's already been busted out. And I mean, there ain't even angels on assignment on you anymore. What is you? Your prayers have been answered. He can't re-answer your prayer. Come on, Rhoda. Rhoda. Send Jesus right over. He can't read. No, but I'm saying this is the most crazy thing I ever seen. But I watch believers by the masses. Because what else are you going to do? If no one's getting saved, delivered to here, what are we going to do? We're going to make something up. We're just going to get busy about nothing. We're just going to be busy. We're just going to be marthing it out. You know, let's just try to cut. Let's just pray against the chairs. Let's just fast and pray. You know, against you got warfare. I got warfare. Oh, we all getting beat up. Sickness and disease is raining all up in here. Let's just. Oh, pray for me. I'm attacked. I mean, you laugh. Welcome to my Christianity that I see all around me. And I got to read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Amid all this, I got to believe the word. New levels, new devils. This is what people do without revival. This is what people do without PowerPoint. This is what people do without awakening. They literally live this weird, made up, unfruitful Christianity. And all the time, you in a 13, some of y'all in a 20, some of y'all watching online, what? You in a 35-year prayer meeting that's been answered. Some of you are asking God to do stuff he's already given you power to overcome. Oh, did you just hear what I said? Can we replay that tape? Because that's craziness. Some of you are asking God for something that he's already given you power to overcome. Never mind faith, boldness, salvation, all these radical things. Listen, I've taught in Bible schools all over the world. Like, so, you know, as a pastor, you try to talk to saints, sometimes it's difficult. I realize that because a lot of ministers overestimate really where the people are, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? We're trying to talk about these deep things and they trying to go home and watch The Apprentice. You know what I mean? So I realize it's just a different breed being a pastor. But Bible school students, what? No, dude, they pay money to be in the ministry. They want the deep things of God. They trying to study. Let me tell you something. I've talked to Bible school students for most of my life. And this has happened on so many occasions in my life. First of all, let me be honest with you. Actually, let me just do a light poll here. I'm not going to really go at you. Let me just do a light poll. How many people here literally have been approached by somebody you don't know and went up to you and shared the gospel with you? You don't even know them and they approached you on the street. Raise your hand. You don't even know them. Okay, now all our people from our church. Now, one. Okay, outside of our church, there's two. Let me ask, no, okay, three. That's fine. Now hands are going to start going up, people being honest. Here we go. How many of you have been approached by a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness to share their gospel with you? I mean, come on, dude. Look around this room. Almost every hand's up. I got sound man putting his hand up, one hand on the camera, waving at me because the Mormons are in the house. But no, but let me be serious. What is the deal, dude? I look at these people driving a bicycle looking crazy, believing a gospel that's not even with all power and authority. And I see a believer that's been given everything in them. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And we're as quiet as all get up. So let me tell you, I 15, 20 years ago, I got to confess, I kind of created this prophetic evangelism monster. Because first of all, the gifts were so barren everywhere you look, and all of a sudden you see things, and I'm all about ministry. But here's the problem. When I talk to students all over the world, and here's what I ask them. How many of you ever led somebody personally to Jesus? You don't even have to answer this question, because I'm not going to put you on that map. But I've done Bible school. Not one hand goes up. These are kids. But if I say who prophesied lay all, they all just, I mean, what? Who actually has ever led somebody to Jesus? I know it's foreign, talking about salvation, right? You just want Reinhard Bonnke to just do it, right? But it's like, this is the Great Commission. This is what we've been called. This is what we've been given. So great. What does the book of Hebrews say? That we better not neglect such a so great gift of salvation. And so what do? We neglect the gift. And then I said, the Bible school students, all right, forget it. You never let nobody Lord. All right, I'll let you off the hook, which is crazy that actually in 2012 is a Christian believer. This is what we even talking about. I can't imagine Jesus up in the cross going, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that he'd ever thought we'd be in this predicament. This is what he died for, man. So I said, forget it. I'll let you off the hook. You don't leave nobody Jesus. I mean, ridiculous. I said, Lord, how many of you know how to share your faith? How many of you right now, I said to the Bible school, how many of you know how to share the faith? You just know how to lead somebody to Jesus. Raise your hand. Not one hand goes up. I know you did not just hear me talk. I'm not speaking Spanish or Chinese. Are you listening to me? Not one hand goes up. What in the world is happening? The greatest miracle on the face of the earth is not the resurrection of the dead. Right? Everybody's all quiet. I'm shooting down golden calves. Religious spears are getting blown up right now. It's not, the greatest miracle isn't the resurrection of the dead. The greatest miracle is not the healing of AIDS. The greatest miracle isn't legs grown out, you know, eyeballs created. I've seen all that. The arms grow, I've seen all that. That's not the greatest miracle, right? What is the greatest miracle? I got two hands from the cameraman, all fired up, you soul winner. So what does that mean? It's crazy. I'm looking around as a believer at the Jesus that lives in believers that they're scared to talk about. And that the enemy has beat them up over the head. You'd think the church invited Satan in their heart. I mean, I'm just like, what's up with this? This is what I'm thinking as a new believer. I'm like, what is happening? The Bible and then this. And I realized that you know, it's funny because Jesus tells the church in Revelation, what? They lost their first love, but then what does he tell them? What is the remedy for them? What does he tell them?
to get back to the things that they did at first. He's talking to a church. He threatens to remove their lampstand.
Now that might not mean much. You'd be like, please take the lamp. You know what I mean? That might not mean much to you. But let me tell you why it means so much. Because this church won the lost. This church got kissed by Pentecost. This church in Acts 18 and 19 saw everybody in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Do you hear me? This is the church Jesus is telling that they actually walked away from their first love. And he tells them, but I don't want to remove your lampstand, but I'm gonna. But for you to get back, do the things. What were the things they did at first? You heard? So he's telling them the remedy isn't I want you to just pray for the next 55 days straight and just break off the enemy off the chairs. You know what I'm saying? The remedy was get back to caring about Jesus. Get back to preaching the gospel. Get back to sharing your faith. Get back to laying hands on the sick. Get back to demonstrating this gospel message. I'm so radical for preaching the word. What would Billy Sunday say up in here in Greenwich? And I realize that we don't really understand who lives in us. How do we take authority over sickness and disease when we don't believe we have it? We don't have the authority. And we've created this subculture of, can you just lay hands on me? Can you, you know what I mean? I was joking with the church this morning. I probably lose maybe a Bible every few months. Believers steal my Bible. I lose hand rags. Pastor, chances are somebody's going to snatch this away from me today. Somebody's going to steal my rag. I don't know what y'all do with it. People get crazy up in here. You think this is Paul's handkerchief. I don't care. You can have my shoes. But it's like, for every scripture that says a handkerchief heals somebody, I could give you a billion more that says it's in you and go do it. But it's like everybody wants the back door. You hear what I'm saying? Everybody wants me to do it for you. Everybody wants, you know, they want Mo's. You know, everybody been a Mo's. They want to walk up to the counter and just be like, this, give it to me. I don't want to even pay a price. I just want it to always be ready when I want it. I don't want to really do any work for it. I don't really ever want to clean or cook or just, I don't want any part of this. I just want it. That's dangerous. Because I'm talking tonight to history makers. I'm talking tonight to reformers. I'm talking tonight to believers. I'm telling you, there has to be something in this hour that separates. Oh, there's got to be a church that emerges from this. There's got to be believers that emerge from what we see. There's got to be, you just attacking Greenwich. No, I'm actually talking to the world. Because fortunately, that's the influence my wife and I have is the world. So I'm telling you, as someone that travels the world every week and preaches to the masses every week, there's a problem in the world. And believers don't believe. And something has got to change. Something has got to separate. God's got to pull out that remnant of people to believe. This world's not getting any different. I try to tell these Bible school students this week. It's easy for the church to do? Thus saith the Lord, destruction's coming. Earthquakes, I prophesy earthquakes, famines. California, get ready. Come on, bro. You really, bro? Scientists in the 1800s said that. Come on, Holmes. Really, bro? Really? Dude, really? New York City, really, bro? Come on, really? You really think that's a prophetic word? Destruction's coming. You like Rhoda, man. Really? Really, dude? Really? Come on, really? 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 You say this stuff. That's easy for the church. Because you literally prophesy what's already going to happen. Really? I mean, come on. Really? It's like I went out to Washington State. Somebody here's from Washington State. You want to prophesy Mount Rainier is going to blow. Really, dude? Really, bro? Really? You pretty much can see the smoke coming off this Bertha. Really, bro? You prophesying to earth? Really, man? Come on. Seriously? You prophesying what's already going to happen on earth? You prophesying what Jesus said would guarantee to happen in Matthew 24? Listen, you're not prophesying anything. So the church, it's easy for us to go, financial destruction, earthquakes, rumors of wars, famine, the dollar's going to go to nothing. Yeah, let me get out the way because it's going to get crazy. And you prophesy, and believers just chilling. I mean, ain't nothing going on but attack, right? You're just chilling. Believers just like, yeah, world's falling apart, man. Hope this rapture thing is real because I don't know what's about to go down. You pre-trib, you post-trib, I know trib. You know what I mean? I don't know what's about to go down. Really, man? Really, dude? We clicking our heels like Dorothy when we're actually the remedy for this. So if Romans 12, I just now barely brought the appetizer to the table. If Romans 12 says you prophesy according to your faith, then what faith do you have? It's no faith for you to prophesy destruction and get out the way, because that's what you will do anyway. You know what takes faith? To share the gospel and decree life in a situation that has none. You know what takes faith? To lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You know what takes faith? To cast out demons. I'm literally teaching a school in the fall. I'm teaching on demonology. Every church is scared of devils, man. You need to get delivered. I can't believe it, man. Y'all hiding under rocks when you actually have all power. It's phenomenal to me. Sometimes I wish. You know my prayer? If God was just like, I'll grant one prayer. Well, that's kind of crazy to say. But, you know, I just think that crazy. I would want Peter and John to come here and minister. Because, I mean, so it's like they may lead you to Christ. I mean, you don't know what's about to happen. Because casting out devils was everyday life to them. Raising the dead was just byproduct of who Jesus is. Laying hands on the sick, preaching the gospel of Jesus, converts added daily. This was like first base, man. Jesus trying to get us greater than this stuff. And it's like we hiding under pews trying to break off rejection. You know what I mean? We trying to like get the spirit of Jezebel and Leviathan. And, you know, we just trying to make up more demon names in the Bible to try to fight. You know what I'm saying? You think I'm kidding? I know I'm hitting some of your golden calves. But how does that, what? We can't neglect such a so great salvation. Oh, Jesus. When he said in the book of Matthew, I have all power, and he said all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me and all authority. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about what's available to the new birth experience. He was talking about, you know, you now are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. But when I looked around, you know what I saw? Old things have become new. Old things never passed. New things passed away. Behold, old things are still here. And I saw, but you laugh, man. Welcome to my view. This is ridiculous. I can't change my view. This is my view. I can't change the Bible. I remember saying, dude, just don't give me the book. Give me one chapter or something. You know what I mean? That you believe. Because I believe this thing. And I only look at it the way Jesus spoke it. And either you have all power, all. That's not one of those words, man. That's those words your wife and husband act crazy with. You know what I mean? You always, though. You always. You never. You all the time. It's not all the time. You just so crazy. It's not all the time. Stop being dramatic. Always. You throw these blankets. You always do this every day. You know, come on, man. You just all worked up, emotional. I know, but you know what I'm talking about. That's why you're laughing. But you know when we don't take it serious, when Jesus says it. We don't take it when he says all power, all authority. Healed every sickness, every disease. He tell you every and all. He gives you those blanket drama always. And you're like, oh. Every sickness and every
disease. Does that mean every sickness and all power, all authority? As if there's ever a time that you need to lay the blanket statement on without drama, it's when Jesus is telling you all power, all authority, every sickness, every disease, every principality over all principality, over every, you have dominion over all. Those are words that are actually true. And I see it in New England. My heart is being stirred. This hour is what I've given my life for. That the bride of Christ in New England would be awakened. That they'll wake up and say, wait a minute, I know the truth. Christ is in me. No weapon formed. Devil, you have no power. You have no authority. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I curse all sickness. I curse all disease. God, we speak in new tongues. If we take up deadly things, it will not harm us. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the life of a Christian. I feel like being a little crazy with you now, man. I could probably tell you stories that would get me not invited back. I probably could. I'm seriously, I could. Because I believe this gospel with everything in me. I didn't have time to go to Bible school to earn somebody's, you know, opinion of my life. I'm not against education, but I didn't have that in my life. I had the word and that's about it. In a messed up past. And what could God do with a surrendered life? And could God put his hand on my life from Groton, Connecticut in the projects and without a dad and change this world through this young man? I'm telling you, you think, oh yeah, I would have noticed it. No, you wouldn't have. Nobody thought I would be here. I promise you this. There weren't leaders calling me out. There weren't people saying, come on, mission. Nobody. Trust me, I was not your minister. But I dared to dream. I dared to believe that I could get favor with heaven. I dared to believe that if a life could get set on fire for God, that I wouldn't fall victim to a barren Christianity that I've been served. I believe that this gospel would be demonstrated in my lifetime in New England. I believe that at a young age, God could begin to light my life on fire. I began to read the Bible, and that's all I knew, and I did it. And it hasn't changed today. I remember contending for miracles. I remember contending for healing, doing everything I knew that was good, praying good, doubting prayers, living the beautiful, spirit-filled, unbelief life. You know what I mean? Come on, man. You know what I mean. Where you say you do one thing and you really demonstrate another. Where we say we believe some, we really believe another. Where we put a creed, you know, remember when creeds were popular, man? I was like, dude, your creed was like you. You know what I mean? You were like so powerful. If you walked into a church and just, you were just met with this banner that was like, we believe. You laugh. I believe this stuff. That's the problem, friends. No one warned me that there was no asterisk at the bottom. It was like, psych. So I walk in your churches, man. I see that I'm greeted with this banner at the staircase. You would have thought, man, it was the Mountain of Transfiguration. We believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the gifts. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in miracles. And man, I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm just tripping out. We believe. And then I was tempted to go write don't with a little carrot above all the we believe statements. Clearly the visual artistic type in the room is laughing her head off. That's what I was tempted to do because I realized we didn't believe. We didn't. We said. But what happens when we do believe?
I was hungry for the ministry. Nobody was inviting me anywhere. Nobody. Nobody. You hear what I'm saying? How do you even start? How do you even do this? What am I going to do? Come on, man. Put a website up? What am I going to do? Start a Twitter? Well, literally, come on, man. What are you going to do? Literally, what am I going to do? Find someone to believe in me? I remember I was driving on Bank Street in New London. There was this Jamaican church. Never preached in my life outside of the bathroom mirror, but I used to tear it up, y'all. Let me just tell you right now. Never preached in my life. I'm driving by this tent. A tent. Now, you'd be like, oh, yeah, 10. No, 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 dude. When I think 10, I'm thinking Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, R.W. Shambach, Catherine Coleman, Amy Sybil McPherson. I'm like, what? It was a big tent. I thought, this is revival. Where's Jack Coe? So I'm driving. Ironically enough, I had a shirt with like, it was like fire on the shirt. Like, you know, but it was like more yellow at the top with just kind of the flames and little square kind of distorted thing. But it was like fire. I'm young. I mean, I had hair, the whole black hair, the whole deal, man. It's a lot more trim, a lot more Jenny Craig, you know what I mean? So I passed by the tent. I'm like, there's this big tabernacle, deliverance, praise, fire, Holy Ghost, every book in the Bible in the title. I said, I got to go there. It's a tent. It's a tent. I'm waiting. You think this is not a joke to me, man. I'm waiting to see crutches strung up on the rafters. Man, I'm thinking tent. I'm thinking Oral Roberts. I'm thinking tent. And it's on Bank Street, New London. I'm like, what? So I show up in the tent. Everybody looking at me like I'm like going to rob them or something. You know what I mean? I remember praying all day that day. I remember used to saying to my friend Rick, I'm like, how could it ever happen? How in the world do you play a system that's corrupt? How do you even play this game? All I want to do is get on fire and see people watch my life burn. That's all I wanted. I saw a tent, dude, a tent. I thought, maybe I'll book the tent out at night. You know what I mean? So I'll never forget, I walked in there. I'm sitting in the back, clearly standing out. This is straight up Jamaican party, dude. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting in the back and I'm just like, God, it's a tent. Yeah, I just can't get past the fact I'm in a tent, you know? Praying all day, probably 11 hours that day. Just Holy Spirit used my life. I knew I'd go preach to the drug addicts. I mean, that was my harvest. You know what I mean? I knew they'd listen. You know what I mean? They weren't going to be like, well, sir, can you, before you preach the gospel, can you go please get an education? You know what I mean? I knew it was like, bro. You know what I mean? Demons aren't moved by your education. You hear what I'm saying? It was authority and power and anointing that makes the difference. And so I'm sitting in the back. This Jamaican pastor goes, this young man, come here. I'm like, I mean, I must have bolted up there, boy, like Hussein, boy. I'm like, what's up? He's like, I see the fire of God all over you. I'm like, you do? Yeah, you do. He said, preach to the people. Preach to the people. I was like, Smeagol, dog. You know, I felt like I had the ring, man. I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh, junk. What am I going to say? You know what I mean? I don't got a message. What do I preach? What do I even say? And all these people are cheering, like standing up, waving rags. And I'm like, what? Woo! So I'm like, what do you do? I mean, I don't even know. How do you even do this? So I knew my first sermon. Everybody's looking just like you are. They're all just staring at me all weird. You know what I mean? I was nervous then. Now I don't even care. It's just normal. Everybody looking. I'll look at you too. I knew my first word had to be a good one. I mean, come on. I got called up from the minor leagues, baby. I closed my eyes. They're like, all I knew, there was only one way to get me into this one. Jesus! Boy, you thought revival hit, Pastor. I knew that'd get him. You know what I mean? I know that one works. And I said, what do I do? I got pictures of this. I got pictures of me like this with the fire shirt and hair all weird looking. All cut up. Oh, man. Well, after the clap went on and on because they were excited. Actually, I had to talk. Pastor sat down. I'm like, what? Wow. And I thought, what am I going to do? John and Peter, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. Father said, you can't give them what you don't have. Give them what you have. All of a sudden, every message I preach in that mirror, boy, I used to lay hands on my pillowcases. Let me tell you something, serious. You think I'm kidding? I'm dead serious. I delivered my pillowcases, man. I had the most clean pillows in the Connecticut. Let me tell you that right now. Every time I read somebody getting delivered, I did it to my pillow. Every time some guy cast the same thing out of my sheets, I was trained for war. And man, I started preaching like it's nobody's business. I started preaching what I preach in my mirror. I started preaching with the authority I knew God gave me. I preached with the conviction that God put in my heart. This was it. I didn't have no time to prepare. This was no meeting. Maybe that's why I just can't prepare. Maybe it's why I'm just used to living with the Holy Ghost. And just heaven fell, man. People running to the altar crying. I mean, God just moved on that place. I'm like, well, my hands get on fire. What do I do? You know what I always used to do? Thank you, Jesus. Now it was like, whoa, there's some folks here that want the Holy Ghost. And I began to pray. Lord, I mean, it was just so, I mean, this was it. This was my first meeting. Then the next week I get invited to a tent meeting. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Another tent? Man, Lord, come on. Let me just start putting a tent up. Get a little cold in the winter, but whatever. And I remember the day that I was just convinced. I was with a couple friends. I went to this church in Massachusetts, actually, I don't know, Agawam or something like that, somewhere in Mass. It was like this Church of God pastor had a tent, and it was ridiculous. I mean, listen, the tent had 1,000 people. I walked in there. I'm thinking what I just experienced. You know, I'm like, give me the mic. I'm ready to go. And at that point, I was so frustrated because all I saw was fruitless Christianity. All I saw was this barrenness. And I remember, you know, and it was like the first night here, I am excited about the Holy Ghost and miracles and believing this finally, you know, getting a chance. And dude, there was like 4 people in a 1,000 person tent. And the pastor, oh my Jesus. We prayed before the meeting. We're all speaking in tongues. He's literally just going, I don't think it's a language, bro, but it's all right. There's 4 people in this 1,000-person tent. He gets up to open the first night of this revival meeting. I don't think anybody was here. This was crazy. He opens the first night. First of all, the pastor, it was raining outside. He had no shoes on. He had 2 white old tube socks, all flopping, all kind of muddy. The guy had a dress pants, a dress shirt with a really tight white shirt on over it that said, "Don't kill the babies." It had a picture of like this unborn baby. It was hilarious. I mean, it was like, really, dude? So he gets up there, he opens the meeting, and he goes, Father, and all of a sudden the light's on, and all of a sudden the generator goes, the light's cut off and the tent's deflating on our heads. And the pastor goes, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Yeah, it is funny, really. I was rolling on my face with my hands in the front. This is my miracle ministry, man. Oh, it was horrible. I could go on and on. So finally, I was upset. I had one more night of this miracle meeting. There's no miracles. There's nobody there. It was my team, right? I had a whole team of people. I was like, you guys just sit right in the front and I'll preach to you. Because that was it. It was like, other than that, it was like the pastor, his assistant, and the guy running the generator. You know what I mean? There was nothing else going on. That was it. So it was like us three. I mean, it was ain't nothing else going on, dude. I mean, yeah, and the pastor was like, you know, he made me sign this, the whole thing. I mean, the masters aren't here, bro. The masters aren't here. He made me sign this thing. You can't lay hands on anybody without a chair. No catchers. He's like, I'm not getting a lawsuit. So I couldn't even pray. I had to have the chair. I'm like, what if it's my people? God, just pray for me. No. A chair. I'm like, oh, this is a damn chair. No Holy Ghost. No miracle. It's a miraculous miracle meeting. So I'm in the hotel before the meeting. I said to my friends, I'm like, I'm finished. I looked at my two friends. I could have said anything. I could have been like, you know, I could have said anything. I would be like, goldfish. And it would be like, yep. In the water. Yep. I mean, they just, I don't know. They were just weird. So I finally told my friends, I'm like, that's it. I'm so frustrated. I'm like, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. Everyone's praying for the sick. Everybody's asking God for stuff he's already got. I'm done with it. I didn't have no faith. I had no E.W. Kenyon books. I had no, you know, TLOs. But there was none of this, dude. It was me. Okay? Me and my miraculous ministry. But I was determined. I told my friend, I'm finished. And this is what I told him. I said, at the time when I said it, my friends were like, what? Like, I hope we ain't in a cult. You know what I mean? But now I say people think it's so powerful, but I was serious. And they went to bed. Everybody wants to go to sleep, man. Everybody's sleeping. Everybody's concerned about themselves. I'm up all night. I'm reading every scripture on healing I could find. And I couldn't find one place in the Bible that Jesus prayed for the sick. Not one place. And I said, I'm finished. I said, they don't even pray for the sick. They cast out devils, command healing. They speak with authority. And we all busy talking about, Lord, if you please. I said, I'm finished. And then I remember the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He's sitting on the bus. A lady comes with this little ankle bite. You know, it's one ignorant dog. You just want to kick. There's one in the hotel a few doors down. And if you in that hotel, put your dog down. Those little irritating little ankle biters. I'll quiet the dog. I told mom, I'll quiet this dog. No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that. So she's trying to get on the bus. And she's like, go home, honey. Go home. She's like, go home. Smith goes watching this thing like, what? I got somewhere to go. Finally, this chick turns around and she goes, go home! And the dog just ran home. The Lord spoke to Smith Wigglesworth and said, if you get that way about sickness, disease, and the demonic, you'll overcome. If you have a heart that just doesn't compromise, you speak the word of God, you'll overcome. Oh, that's all I needed to hear. So I go to that meeting that night. The peopleless, miraculous meetings. So here we are, we're opening and worship. I'm just like, really? Really, dude, really? I'm like, how can I get out of here? How can I go home? How can I just lay hands on? I got to lay hands on somebody, you know what I mean? It's my team. To my knowledge, they're all healed, you know what I mean? They're not, unless they're closet cripples, you know what I'm saying? I don't think there's anything happening right now. So finally, I see a car pull up. With the headlights, I thought, life, it's the best thing that's happened in the meeting. So I run outside. You won't even believe this. I'm telling you right now, you can't make this stuff up. It's 2 80-year-old ladies. Mini skirt. All crazy. Lipstick. Nails done. Wrinkles flowing. I never seen it. I'll tell you, it made me like choke. I was like, oh. They were trying to go to the bar next door. They were all drunk. Half dressed. Everything popping all kind of out. High heels. Straight up. I'm like, what? All drunk. And they're trying to go to the bar down the road. Some of y'all are like, how in the world is this going to tie back around? You wait. They go to the bar down the road. They're like, is this a party? I said, yeah, this is the party. This is the party, Betty. Chill out, Betty, Betty. It's the party. She said, really? I said, really? Where there's music? Really? They're sisters. We sing karaoke. I said, yes. Come on, you're going to sing. Come on, you're going to sing at the meeting. I thought it's got to be more anointed than the Miraculous, Don't Kill the Babies, tight shirt weirdness. I mean, come on. So I, these two old ladies come up, and they're like wanting a mic check. I'm like, Pastor, come here, Pastor. God's going to move tonight. I believe it. I mean, there's nobody here, man. What are you talking about? Listen. These are my guests. I said, this is, Nobody's going to be prayed for without a chair, okay? Listen to me. Let them, they're going to sing a song. Heaven's going to fall. Just, I think it's got to be, I mean, this might, if it's the last meeting I preach, you know what I mean? I said, just trust me. You know, and then he's still looking at these, you know, these crazy looking, you know what I mean? These street corner old lady 80-year-olds. And he's just like, what? And I'm like, then I just had to get a little more serious. I'm serious. God is going to move. He's like, okay. So we get up. I'm like, cue the tape. Ladies and gentlemen. There's only like two rows of people. Ladies and gentlemen. Kids of all ages. We are now going to have a special song from our guests. What's your name? Nancy and Betty. Let's give it up for Nancy and Betty. Nancy and Betty. Get the tape. And she's like, oh, flip it around. I need the other version. These ladies, I mean, like, I can't even fully describe right in this building what they looked like because it would be wrong. Do you hear what I'm saying? They were wearing what angels would dare to look at. I mean, angels don't even tread there, okay? All kind of crazy stuff happening. And they start hitting the tape in this miracle meeting. Now a few people are showing up. I'm like, oh, boy, I'm really in trouble now. And they're like, roll out the barrel. And they start singing this whole song about drinking and getting drunk. The believers don't even know the words. They're just like, woo, 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 woo. I'm like, you weirdos, man, really? They sitting there high-fiving and dootsie-dooing about getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. They crazy, man, just singing ungodly things. I was rolling on the floor. Got a cramp from busting out laughing so hard. The funniest thing I ever seen. Creepily, probably the most annoying thing that happened all week. I'm hurt. My gut is just in pain. Now people are laughing. Some are holy laughing. I'm just unholy laughing. You know what I mean? I'm just straight up laughing so hard. Can't even fully glare at Granny. You hear what I'm saying? I fall into my sin or something wrong. It's like, this is horrible. So then they're done. I'm like, oh, thank God. Pastor, stop. They got one more. Welcome all the new folks. We just got a guest here today, you know. We got one more. Come on, get, play DJ. So they're all... These old ladies, man, looking all kind of hooker-like. Clearing their throat. Daddy, tell me about the good old days. Singing pictures of me and just, I'm laughing and I'm on the floor. I mean, this is where they're high-fiving each other. They got a little dance. Like they the Rockettes. Oh my goodness, dude. So I realized that was my last time in the building. So they're done with the song, and I'm like, all right, pastor, you got to escort them out. I couldn't even talk to him. He was so angry, Steve fuming out his eyes. So this is what we do. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, this is crazy. So I'm walking these ladies out the back laughing. Like, at least, you know, this is at least I got a good laugh. You know, this is craziness. I'm walking out the back of the meeting. There's people showing up now. A few people scattering Saturday night, walking in the back of the meeting. Escorting these old ladies out, hoping nobody gets to talk to them. And I'm actually, they were like, where's the bar? I'm like, well, it's a church. You know what I mean? But I'll send you over to the bar. Thanks for the enlightenment. And as I'm walking towards the back of the tent, one of the old ladies turns around. I don't know where this even came from. And she goes, I got a growth on my neck. Can you pray for me? I'm thinking, who gave it away? I'm looking around there, and this just says, don't kill the babies. Jesus. You know what I mean? And I looked, she had a huge growth on her neck. This is what it is, man. It's me, the drunk lady, and Jesus. If there was ever a time to give everything, it's right now. First, they ain't even going to remember if it don't work. You hear what I'm saying? But for me, it was like, this is it. I just prayed. I barely slept last night for this. So I'm looking at this drunk lady. I said, Jesus is going to heal you. I'm not kind of whispered it, hoping that, you know, I didn't want to cause a ruckus. I didn't know what was about to happen. It was a miraculous meeting up to this point. And I remember grabbing her tumor, and I just cursed it. And I'm telling you right now, it started to go down. Her sister's freaking out. I pray again, the thing completely dissolves, completely. She gives her life to the Lord. She's weeping. She sobers up. I thought, come on, Jesus, it's beginning. Her friend goes, well, I'm blind in my left eye. I thought you was just drunk. I mean, it's crazy. You stumbling, bumping into things. Come on. Makes a little sense now, Granny. Come on. Don't get behind the wheel, blind woman. And right as I prayed at that moment, I mean, her eye complete blind. I completely opened up. Let me tell you, the miracle meeting begun. I brought these two ladies up in the front, and the whole meeting just, I mean, miracles popped off everywhere. Pastor loved it, and, you know, it was amazing. But at that moment, it was finished for me. I knew I wasn't going to play a Christian game, man. I knew we had all authority or we didn't. I knew we believed this gospel or we didn't. Might have been a wacky, weird way to launch, but I knew that I wasn't going to just pray prayers that were ineffective. I knew that I wasn't just going to say things that didn't matter. I was going to use the authority God gave me because it's on the inside of us. I knew that my mind was made up, that I no longer was going to live just a passive Christian life. And I began to see the power of God on display. I began to believe that God had equipped me to where few believers really understand that. I began to believe that we could see the fullness of Christ demonstrated in our lifetime. My tolerance for fruitless Christianity was finished. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 says, For he's not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels, but testified in a certain place, saying, what is a man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? I'm telling you the things that God has given you. Number one, he's made you a little lower than the angels. That's a miracle. Number two, he's crowned you with all glory and honor. Number three, he's put you over the works of his hands. Number four, he's put all things in subjection under your feet. So I believe that then it just clicked. We are in charge of the works of his hands. He's put all things under your feet. Every sickness, every disease, every injustice, every tormenting spirit, every deaf and dumb spirit, every spirit of infirmity is under your feet. And I began to believe it. I began to receive it. I began to operate in it. And I feel tonight, I sense that there's a spirit of infirmity. I feel like there's believers that have been crippled for years with a deaf and dumb spirit, crippled for years with doubt and unbelief. I feel it in the room tonight. Let me tell you what the definition of infirmity is. It's a physical weakness, a spiritual weakness, or a defect association with affliction or having infirmity. It also means to be robbed, grieved, or wounded. You know, doctors, for fibromyalgia, it was kind of crazy because there was an epidemic coming out on the earth. People would have pain. They didn't even know what it was. They'd have conditions. They didn't even know what it was. And you know, they have a medical book. They're pretty confident in the afflictions of the earth. And all of a sudden, people would get sick. People would have diseases. People would have issues, problems. And the doctor started writing it off like it's in your head. That's what actually, I'm sorry to tell you, that's what they thought. But how you tell somebody that's actually physically manifesting sickness in their body, it's in their head. And doctors said, well, I don't know what to call it. And somebody else said, all of a sudden it started being an epidemic of just pain, weakness, and all these conditions, and nobody knew what it was. So they labeled it fibromyalgia. It's a spirit of infirmity. See, you can't let a medical establishment tell you how the kingdom operates. And unless we deal with the spiritual realm, unless we deal with authority, these devils that are tormenting your mind. Some of you here tonight, it's like I can see chains around your mind. That the enemy, you've either had insomnia or you haven't been able to sleep. The enemy's tormenting you. The battlefield is in your head. The battlefield is in your mind. If the enemy can torment your mind, he'll take over your emotions. Your mind is a holy place. Your mind, your thoughts. The Bible says take captive every thought that exalts itself above the Lord. And I feel tonight, I feel an authority for freedom. I feel authority for chains to be broken. I'm telling you, chains from 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. I'm talking to you that are watching online. I don't care where you're watching from. Heaven wants to set you free. Every devil that has been tormenting you will be broken tonight in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, sickness and disease can't stand to the name of Jesus. Mindsets, anxiety, fear. Let me tell you, fear that is crippling some of you in this room. Let me say a strong statement. It's crazy. I even got to say this today. Yeah, it's about to get crazy in here. I'm telling you right now. It's about to get crazy in here. I feel such power in this room. It's going to get nuts. God never meant for you to be on medication. He never meant for you to take. The church is like probably the number one supplier of antidepressants, anxiety pills on the face of the earth. Let me tell you why. Because you were a people that were supposed to hear the voice of God. You were a people that were supposed to have discernment in the spirit. But when you don't subject your mind to the things of God, when you don't subject your will to the things of God, then the enemy has his way. And all fear is faith in the demonic realm. Fear is a demonic form of faith that has to go. It's a lying spirit that torments you things that are not real. I know it's about to get crazy. I'm telling you right now, if you... But there's such fear that is crippling people in this room. People that I'm telling you, well, the Bible's about to be displayed in a few moments. Fear that is crippling some of your minds, your emotions, your will. Pain that is crippling your body. I feel deliverance in this place tonight. Shackles. I literally feel shackles from years of Christianity that's holding you back is about to be destroyed. He's put you in everything in this world is under your feet. Then why will we receive it any other place? Every spirit on the face of the earth is subject to the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mark chapter 1, they cast out devils. Dudes were like, what kind of new doctrine is this? They didn't even understand what was happening. And Jesus showed them a better way. I'm telling you tonight, that infirmity in your life is going to be broken. I hope you hear me. Bondages that have held you back for years are about to be shattered. Sickness and disease that you've tolerated is about to be gone. I'm telling you, addictions, pornography, lust, all these things that has crippled your life. Listen, you want awakening, here it is. It's going to be broken off your life. Some of your minds have been so tormented by the enemy, never again. the fire of God is going to burn in this place. The power of God is going to break every single chain in this house. Authority is about to be birthed in the heart of New England again. The fire is going to burn out every lie. I'm telling you, abuse, rape, abortion, trauma is going to be set free on some of you tonight. The lies of the enemy are going to be broken. Every lie that you've believed is going to be abolished. Can I tell you what unbelief is? Unbelief means there was a belief that you unbelieved. Unbelief means there was a belief that you were lied about. And where if I believe Jesus healed, the unbelief would say, no, not really. And many of you have unbelieved a lie. You've unbelieved the truth. You've not believed the word. And I sense such unbelief. I'm telling you, I feel freedom tonight. Satan's mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. He has no authority. Come on, it's not a taboo issue, church. It's time you rise up. Satan has no authority in this house. Satan has no authority in your life. Satan has no authority on your body and on your mind and on your marriage and on your lifestyle. Come on, friends. It's time you take authority over these things in your life. Ephesians 4:27 says we don't even give a place for the devil. I'm going to read one more scripture. Seriously, this is it because I feel like we need to pray. Luke chapter 10. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, nothing at all, nothing by no means will harm you. I've given you power over all the enemy. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I give you power over all. I give you power over all. Satan has no authority. Satan has no hold. Some of you right now, come on, you need prayer. Move this, Bob. Some of you in your mind is getting tormented. I want you to come forward. I'm telling you right now, I feel the fire of God. I feel deliverance in this room. Every tormenting devil's going to be destroyed. Come on. Some of you have been suicidal. You better get up here. I'm telling you, the oppression is going to be broken off people. Infirmity is going to be broken off people. Today will change this place. Today, deliverance will reign. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Satan, you have no authority in this house. You have no power over the people of New England. We render you powerless by the blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, you need to be lifting your hands and praying. Come on, you don't come this far in Christianity and back down now. Y'all need to get hungry tonight. Come on. Jesus. Lift your hands. Those of you watching by the web, lift your hands. Heaven wants to deliver you tonight. trouble.